I'm excited about this message today. We have been, in the beginning of 2016, taking our church through God's vision for the Rock. And as I mentioned to you, can you do me a favor? Just put the timer on there. As I mentioned to you previously, the vision for the Rock is not unique. Our vision is the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is actually God's vision for every church everywhere. And although there are distinctives that God designs, I believe, into every church, particular callings, depending on where God has put us in the world, what our particular unique circumstances are. And there are things that our church, you could call it DNA, things that make us unique in how we respond to God, how we go about doing things like that. We'll be talking about some of those things, giving you reasons why. You may wonder why we do the things that we do. And, you know, why is our church designed the way it's designed? There are actually things that we believe from the Scripture that form the basis of our life together. And so in the weeks ahead, we'll be talking about some of those things. The first message that I shared on this subject, I wanted to lay the foundation, the one and only foundation of the church, which the Bible tells us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, as a wise master builder, it's the scripture, the first scripture you read there, as a wise master builder, laid the foundation. In that passage, if you read the context, I didn't give you the context of that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, but the context of that verse says that we are the building, and we are also builders together with God. Now, that is kind of where I want to go with you today. We are the builders, and we are builders together with God. So God is building his building. Last week we talked about the church that Jesus is building, and he is building a church that the devil cannot overcome, cannot overthrow, cannot defeat. That was at the center of our message last week. But I want to emphasize today, just in starting this message today, every person in this room is building the church that Jesus is building. We're all doing it. Whether we understand completely what that means doesn't really matter. God is in the process. He's going to give you revelation. He's going to equip you. He's going to put his word inside of you. He will show you your place. He'll give you understanding of what it is he has called you to do in the house of God. The unique gifts and how you fit and flow within that. But every one of us is a builder. But we are building together with God the church that Jesus said he would build. So I just want to emphasize that in the building. But the first message was the most important one, and that is no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now what I want to do today, as a primary purpose of our church, it's actually the primary purpose of every church, but as a primary purpose of our church. Now when I say that, I'm talking about you. When I say primary message of our church, well, we are the church. So this is a primary purpose of God for every believer. Every believer is called to be involved in the ministry of forming Christ in other people. That's a primary purpose, a primary reason why the Church of Jesus Christ exists. We exist for the purpose of forming Christ in people. And your ministry, the call of God on your life and my life, all of our lives, no matter what our gifting is, no matter what our unique personalities, life experiences, all the things that God has taken to make us what we are today, to fit into the unique niche that is needed in a body, no matter what your gift is, all of it is for the purpose of helping, enabling, spurring other people on to be conformed to the image of Christ. We are forming Christ in each other. And that's where I want to take you in this message as we go through. I want to go to the bottom of page one, and I want you to listen to the passion of the Apostle Paul. Okay? Now, he said things like, follow me as I follow the Lord, to a whole church. You know? Follow me as I follow the Lord. I believe that the Apostle Paul, though he is a man, was only a man, yet he would identify himself as a prototype to follow. You know, imitate, another translation says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Christ is the ultimate prototype that all of us are to be conformed to. But every leader, listen carefully to this, every leader and every believer is to be an imitator of Christ so that other people can imitate you. Are you with me? Okay? How do we form Christ in other people? One of the ways that we form Christ in other people is we imitate Christ. And we, you know, it's in the things we say, and I love that word that Steve gave just before preaching, not knowing what I was going to preach, where he talked about this. But we may not fully understand all the different ways that God is going to use us. Sometimes it's with words, like we heard today. Now, some of you might not have been familiar with what happened with Shirley. Okay, I just want to comment on that just briefly. Those of us who have been around the body of Christ for a while, tongues, the gift of tongues, which is among the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's in the Bible. We believe it's for today. And the Bible talks about the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation. And it is a manifestation of the Spirit of God that is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, rather, that God has given to edify the church. How many were edified by that? Anybody here not understand what was going on? You don't have to put up your hand. But sometimes, because it isn't familiar to us, we wonder what's happening. But I want you to know it's right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 with a detailed description of the gift of prophecy with the gift of interpretation. You can go read that. That's not my message. But that was edifying. It edified me. So, this thing that God has called us to do, which is to form Christ in other people, it happens primarily in two ways. It happens by the living word of the living God residing inside of me, burning inside me. And it is burning inside a lot of you. One of the prophets said, your word is like fire shut up in my bones. Okay, that word that's inside of us, that burns within us, God has given us, not just for our own edification and our own building up, but actually to build up others. Now, we know that Jesus Christ is the Word. Is he not? He's the Word. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Okay? Jesus is the Word. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And so what happens when the Spirit of God is residing in us and we are being fed by the Holy Spirit and God is taking us into his Word, he's revealing his Word to us, he's speaking his Word, Jesus Christ, truth to us, that Word inside of us is like a gift. It's a gift from God to us, but it's also a gift to God for other people around us. And that's the exhortation that Steve gave for us today, was that we should, you know, think about, go to the Scripture and think about, you know, this week, what it is that God wants you to speak, what God wants you to give away. That's one way the Word of God, that's one way that we form Christ in other people. what Christ is to us, what he has spoken to us, what he has revealed to us, we share with other people. Okay? The other way is we live a life, just like Paul said, imitate me as I imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. And so part of our ministry is actually the Word lived. It's actually Christ lived. It's acting the way Christ acts in front of people so that they can not only hear the Word in our mouths, they can actually see Christ lived through our lives. Now remember, this is what you're called to. The calling on all of our lives is to conform or to form Christ in other people. So I want you to hear these words in the words of the Apostle Paul at the bottom of page 1. Galatians chapter 4. Amazing passage. And for all of you who are feeling this lately, this is just going to go, this is going to underline, put in bold, you know, it'll underscore what God is already doing inside of you. Okay? It is good to be zealously affected. All of you people who've been experiencing this, this is God saying, it's okay what's happening inside you. I'm going to say it again. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. We need more of this. And it is happening. There's a move of God that's happening where many, many people are being stirred up to a zealous affection. A zealous affection after God, a zealous affection for his body, a zealous affection to be used by God. All of that's happening in our church right now. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing to see. So I'm going to say it again. It is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. Okay, Paul's writing to the Corinthian church. You don't just get zealously affected when somebody is around that you respect or whatever the case may be. Okay, this is, you know, what we do in public. It's what we do in private. It's what we do wherever we are. It doesn't matter who's there. You know, it doesn't matter who, you know. This is all believers doing this regardless of whether so-and-so is present or not. Okay? It's the normal Christian life to do this. So but be zealously affected for what good thing? What you just read is connected to the next phrase. Here's what Paul was zealously affected for. My little children, talking to the Galatian church, my little children, of whom I travail, there's a good word that no man can understand, only women, travail in birth. I've had a chance to see my daughters have babies, so I can understand it from a distance. You know, I can remember Ruth in the hospital for hours, you know, as she was going through the contractions, you know, and the presence of God was there. It was a holy moment. It was an amazing thing. And Mark was there, you know, ministering to his wife in between contractions and while they were happening. But there was a travailing. And, you know, I don't believe this is an accident that this term is used. Okay? A woman who's travailing in birth cannot escape it. Okay? There's no way out. Right? There's no way you can somehow have this pass. It's going to happen. Okay? And you can't avoid it. And it doesn't matter what you do. It's going to increase. And it's going to get harder and harder and harder. The contractions are going to get closer and closer together, and they're going to get increasingly more painful until this baby is birthed. There's a reason why the Apostle Paul, sorry ladies, and you know, I'm prophesying your future, some of you, but it won't hurt. She's got faith. There you go. But I believe that's used, and the Apostle Paul saying, imitate me. And he's saying, it's good for you, all of you, Galatian believers. He's talking to the Galatian believers. But Jesus is talking to us. It's good for all of us to travail like a woman who is bearing a child in the purpose of seeing Christ formed in others. I hope you hear this, because this is Jesus' passion, and he's just explaining it in these terms so that we can catch his heart on what our calling is, what our ministry looks like. Okay? What Jesus has called all of us to be involved in. Now, can you imagine? If you think about this, you know, Paul's just setting the pace. I travail in birth. It's good for you guys to be zealously, you know, affected by a good thing. I want you, what I'm experiencing, you not only can experience, but this is the way it is. If you're going to serve Christ and be a follower of him, this is what it's going to look like. Now, I want you to think about the people that are in this room today. Okay? Think about the people that are in this room today. Because these people that are in this room are those that we are called to travail like a mother who is about to give birth in a child. We are to travail for these people until Christ is formed in them. You're looking for a ministry? There it is. All of you who feel called to leadership, there's many, many leaders in this church, some younger, some older, who feel called to be shepherds, deacons, whatever the case may be. You want to know what God's... You're waiting for the call of God. You want a description of what it is. You want to know what it is to be a shepherd. You want to know what it is to be a servant of Christ. You want to know what it is to minister to Jesus' body. This is the center and the focus of what we do. We travail in birth until Christ is formed in other people around us. What's the reason to pray in your own personal life? What's the reason to get into the Word of God in your own personal life? Why is it so important? Because you are involved in the process of birth. You're involved in the process of affecting other people. Zealously. Affecting other people in a good thing, which is to see Christ formed in them. Okay? All of us are called to this. All of us are involved in this. And this is what a church is. It's one of the things that a church is. And brothers and sisters, you want to know what God's vision for the Rock is? This is God's vision for the Rock. Now, I want to talk about this just for a second in practical terms. Some of you have been around here a long time. You're seasoned veterans of the kingdom. You have been walking with Christ, some of you, for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Multiple experiences, multiple, you know, hundreds and thousands of hours spent in the Word of God. You know, you have seen the miracles of God. You have witnessed things with your eyes that have raised you up. You've seen the Spirit of God work. You know by experience. You have faith in God because you saw what God did. I want to say to you today, we need to hear the great works of God from you. You've seen miracles? Tell us about it. Tell somebody else about it. You've seen God come through in a supply when there was no possible way that anyone could ever see an answer. 11th hour, you know, the ship is going down, and you've witnessed God. come through. We need to hear that. Now, some of you are younger, okay? You might not consider yourself to be the old seasoned, gray-haired, veteran with the furrowed brow and the lines, and the battle scars all over you. But you're a young warrior, male or female, okay? Maybe you're a little bit newer to the faith. I want to tell you, and please hear this, Jesus is just as powerful, just as real, just as alive, and just as capable of using you to build other people up and to pour the Word of God into their life at the stage that you're at. Okay? This is not for praise God, thank God for the old season veterans. They have a very important place to play. But that next generation, okay? And if you may be an older person who is a new Christian. And I want to say to you today, if you're an older person who is a new Christian, you don't take a back seat. There's no such thing as taking a back seat in this ministry. Everybody travails travails in birth to see Christ formed. All of us do. So don't think that you should be sitting on the sidelines while all of the spiritual people do whatever they're doing. That's I was going to say that bad word, that C word. I'm not going to say that. Boulder dash. That's a pile of boulder dash. There we go. Okay? Or the youngest believer who has just gotten saved. The youngest believer who has just gotten saved has access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is tapped in to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ can speak through and minister through and use to build up and to strengthen others, any person. Now, I just want to say something about those who walk into the doors of this place who are new. Okay? Can I suggest to you that one of our primary purposes, because this is inside ministry, right? The part of Jesus' vision for the church is an outside thing, which we'll be talking about in the weeks to come. You know, that's to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We cannot just be focused inside. But there's a reason why we are focused inside. Okay? Someone has said, one of our famous leaders, if we have such a thing, has said it's more important what you're saved into than what you're saved out of. Okay? This is the, what you're seeing here, right here in this room, right here, this is the greenhouse that God brings people into who are seekers, who don't know which way is up spiritually. God brings them into this kind of a setting to be surrounded by a whole bunch of people who are seeing God, who are hearing God, and who are imitating God. In order to surround this person who walks in the door who doesn't know Christ very well, or maybe they're a broken person who's they've gone through hell in their life. Maybe they served God at some time in the past, but now they're a broken person. Our eyes have to be beyond ourselves. And I'm just being really, really honest, okay? It's really easy to fall naturally into our social groupings of people that it's easy to be with them because we're used to being with them. But I want to say to you, this ministry is a ministry of looking at others. It's a ministry of seeing every person as a person that God wants to enfold into the life of a church. Okay? And this being zealously affectioned is not just being zealously affectioned for the person and the people that we know the most or like the most or feel the most ease with. It's actually being zealously affectioned for the newcomer, for the new Christian, for the person who walks in here, doesn't even know why they're here, looking for God. Okay? And Our whole church, the Rock Church, is called to the ministry of touching and affecting and surrounding and loving these people when they walk into the doors of this place. Okay? If we do that well, God will give us more people. Okay? He who is faithful in little, God gives much. God entrusts people to churches where this happens. Okay? God will actually give us people. He'll actually plan their entrance into our church if we do this really, really well. If he knows, the great shepherd, if the great shepherd knows that when people walk into the doors of this place, they're going to be shepherded well, God will bring them. Now, when I use the word shepherd, I'm not just talking about the eldership. We are shepherds, but everybody is involved in this ministry. Can you say amen to that? Okay? Are you with me so far? Are you wondering when I'm ever going to get to page two? Okay. I'm giving you these notes so you can go away and read them and study them, but I'm giving you the center of what this is all about. Okay? Now, on the top of page two, I'm just going to summarize what I'm dealing with here. Some of you are waiting for the call. Some of you are, it's like you're at the starting gate, and you're I've used this illustration before, but you're like the racehorse that has come up to the starting gate, and it's kind of edgy and sort of, you know, bouncing around a little teeny bit, and the jockey's having to bring the horse kind of in control because it's going to go into the gate, and the anticipation inside you is it's like you're there with all these other, well-trained, fully, functioning and exercised and trained horses, and you're coming into the gate, and you're waiting for the gate to open in your ministry. You're waiting for the gate to open. You're saying, oh God, I just want to be released. Oh God, whatever you want me to do, anything you want me to do, I will do what you want me to do, God. Just show me what you want me to do. I'm so ready. I'm just so there. Just somehow release me. And I want to say to you today, you already are. There is no such thing as a closed gate. Because you got this call the moment Jesus came into your heart. You're already called. You are already commissioned. You are already chosen. You're already in the process of being equipped. There are no doors closed. Please hear this. Those of you who feel that God has called you to ministry, you're already in the ministry. You are. You don't have to wait to do what I'm talking about. You don't have to wait until you have had 4 years of Bible school training and understand, the apocalypse. And, you have dug into all the deep recesses of the scripture. No. This ministry of forming Christ in others, we do continuously. And it began. Your ministry began the day that you received the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. Don't think that you need someone like me or someone like Tim or Steve to recognize your ministry before you can be released. You already have a ministry, and you need to start releasing it right now. You say amen to that? Okay? You already have this ministry, and you need to release it right now. But I just want to walk you through some of the scriptures that speak about what we're talking about here today. Okay? God has already called you. He has already given you a place of ministry. He has already released you. He has already said, go and do it. He's already said, there's nothing stopping you. Okay? And can I say to you, this whole flock is available. This whole flock is your ministry. Okay? It's not just old people who minister to old people. Do you know young people minister to old people? You know that children minister to old people? Can I say to you, young people, please hear this today. Those of you who are going to inherit this church, please listen carefully. Us old guys are, you know, eventually God will take us home, and you guys are going to inherit this church. But listen carefully. You have your radical vision. The way you're going to do it is different than the way we do it. You have a vision to even how to go about things that's different than the way we have done things. And that is perfectly okay. It's going to happen. But I want to say to you, you cannot live without the ministry of those older seasoned veterans. And I want to say to you today, build the culture of honor now. Build the culture of honor now. I want to mention two people. I want to mention Jesse Mason, who most of you have no idea who he is. Jesse Mason led a church in Los Angeles, California, and it was a dynamic church, an incredible church, and he handed the church over to a couple in our NCMI team, and he stepped off of the leadership. He functioned as an elder for a period of time and so on and so forth. But as he got older, he became less able to do the things of the ministry that he used to do. That church honored Jesse Mason right to the day of his death. Right to the day of his death, and opened doors. He was always, there were always doors open. And I would watch at conferences, at different things, I would watch young men and women go and sit with JC and Claire Mason and just receive. There was a constant flow of the Word of God. And he was a missionary in Japan for 30 years. Powerful man of God. Another guy was Steve Nemeth, who some of you know. Steve Nemeth spent 50 years in India, planted hundreds of churches in India, and eventually came back to Canada. And he didn't really have an official place in the church that he attended in Prince George. No official place. But every single day of the guy's life, he was going about doing the work of the ministry. And I can remember, right to the very end of his life, in the hospital, broken hip, and he basically on his way to Jesus. Every single person he came in contact with, he ministered to. Okay? Can I say to those of you who are young, and I know this is already in First Nations culture, but it really does need to be in our white culture, an honor of older people, an honor of elderly people, a willing to receive. And so that means, in the day that it comes that those of you who are younger are now elders and taking over the leadership of this church, you need to make space for their ministry. Can you hear that today? Make space for their ministry. All right, I'm going to read these verses and then we're going to quit. Galatians chapter 5. Remember, we are called to radically, passionately form Christ in other people. Can I just read these passages quick? Galatians chapter 5. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. Rather, serve one another. Use your freedom to serve one another. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. You're not here to please yourself. You're not here to please yourself. You're actually here to be wind under somebody else's sails. You're here to, when somebody fails, to lift their hands up. Okay? To strengthen them. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. There's your ministry. There's the call of the Lord Jesus Christ on the Rock Church. Every member of the Rock Church, every one of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up, for even Christ did this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Though I am free and I belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. I become all things to all men that I might by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. Now that has an outward connotation, also an inward connotation. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I will very gladly spend for you everything I have. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian believers, the basket case church. Okay? The church with the most problems. You know, I mean, they were a mess. And here is the Apostle Paul. This is 2 Corinthians. This is after a long experience with this church. I will very gladly spend for you everything I have, and I will expend myself as well. That is passionately affected. That is travailing for a church. Galatians chapter 6. I've already shared that one. Maybe I'll read the rest. Brothers, even if a man is caught in some fault or sin, you which are spiritual, go and restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself so that you're not tempted. Here it is. Carry one another's burdens. What does that mean, carry one another's burdens? The context is the failings, the faults, the weaknesses, and the sin of others around us. We carry their burdens. The body of Christ, if it's like Christ, does not take out its 50 caliber machine gun and train it on someone who has failed. Cock the thing, you know, the bullet's loaded, and somebody who has blown it among us, somebody who has failed in some kind of way, whether it's sin, some translations use the word sin, some translations use the word fault. We do not take out the 50 caliber and begin tearing and shredding to pieces people who fail and stumble. We carry one another's burdens. Now, brothers and sisters, this must be a safe place. Okay? A place where the most fallen can come. And they know that what they're going to get here is not judgment, it's not condemnation, it's not rejection, it's not the law. What they're going to get is the life of Christ. Can you say amen to that? Okay, a couple more verses and we're done. 1 John 3, by this we know love, because, how do you know love? How do you know what real love is? We say we love each other. How do you know what real love is? By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. How do we know that this church actually has any love in it? Real love. The way you know is by how we lay down our life for each other. That's Jesus. Jesus did this. He says, now you do it. Finally, Hebrews chapter 10. And this is the thing during the week. I just want to repeat what Steve said. You know, talking about in the middle of the week, what you do in the middle of the week, okay? Let us think of ways to motivate each other. Think of ways of how to motivate others. You know, people around you, you know, in your small groups. whatever, your contacts with people. Think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love. Motivate each other to acts of love and to good works. And then don't neglect the meeting of yourselves together. Can we pray?
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.